and get started. I'm Lisa Schmidt, your chair for the Clark County Solid Waste Advisory Commission meeting. Just quick around the room. Jack, you want to say your name and who you represent?
I'm Jack McCleary, the Southwest Clark County.
And I'm Alan Jessica. I'm with the Public Interest Groups.
Dick Baker, County at Large.
Brim Wilson, Southeast County.
Bill Charlie, Vancouver, City of Vancouver.
Sabre Hall Nelson, Environmental Services.
City of Largent, Environmental Services.
Okay. And since we are, you know, the group that we are, let's just quickly go back in the back. Tanya, you want to start?
I'm Tanya Gray with City of Vancouver.
Mike Davis, Clark County DES, Solid Waste Programs.
I'm Pete Dubois, Clark County, Environmental Services.
Joe Laxman, Clark County Public Health.
Excellent. Thank you for being here. Let's go right into approval of minutes. We do have a quorum. Take a minute to review, and then if someone would like to make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
I have a correction to make.
Go ahead.
My name is spelled T-R-L-A-Y.
Oh.
A? Remember it? A-Y, yeah.
Oh, we have it correct on the agenda.
Yeah, it's been a couple of minutes.
Corrected.
I don't think I was.
Then all through the entire minutes.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I wasn't present at this meeting on April 3rd.
In April.
I don't believe.
No.
No, you were not. Okay. We'll throw you into the excused because we didn't know where you were. Anything else?
I move accept it with the corrections.
Okay, so we have a first to accept the minutes with the correction of Bill Turley's last name and moving Ron Wilson to members excused. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
Okay, second by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any abstentions? Okay, minutes are approved. Let's move right into updates. And with that, I would just like to remind that we do have some ground to move forward on in the plan. And so, hello, if we could be brief in our comments, that would be great. Let's go ahead. Joe, would you start us off?
Yeah, not much to report, but the first quarter progress reports are finished. And as of today.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask, is there anything that you would like for us to make in the form of a recommendation or we should be reviewing in the form of a recommendation? I would just remind everyone that is our purpose to provide advice to the Clark County Commissioners.
Definitely. Yeah, I think reviewing it, I don't, you know, being new, I'm not sure exactly what the role of those reports are, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah, any input would be great.
Okay, definitely. Appreciate that. Thanks for being here. Anita, give us the update, please.
Well, I wanted to bring everybody up on the Green Business Showcase that we had on April the 16th. This is our Green Business Program. We had 17 new businesses that have completed the program for the year. So we now have a total of 44 in the program. I wanted to especially recognize Legacy, Seven Creek, as one of our new businesses and also one of our largest businesses, and Alan's very active on that green team. Wanted to mention that our Recycling Day collection events, they started on April the 12th, and they've basically been occurring every Saturday through April and May. And then we'll have nine total, and we'll have some in the fall. But we do have in your packet a summary of the collection events and what's being collected. We are collecting a lot of additional items this year, so it's kind of interesting to see the items that are in the amounts. The past month actually was a very busy month for us, Earth Day in particular. We participated with the CPU Earth Day Eco Fair. We had a garlic mustard pull. and we pulled, the volunteers pulled over 4,000 pounds of weeds out of the Stanley Creek Park area, which was kind of mind-blowing.
How are those recycled, reused, dumped, since we're interested in solid waste?
Since they're not noxious weeds, they're actually just disposed of, so, like that. Also in your packet is a copy of the Green Neighbors newsletter, so you might want to check that out for the upcoming event. I wanted to, in particular, mention that the Washington State Recycling Association is having their annual conference and trade show here in Vancouver at the Hilton. It's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. And in particular, Jean Stewart is being recognized by the association and being accepted into the Recycling Hall of Fame. So that's quite an honor. And if actually, I'll pass around a copy of the conference. So if anybody's interested in maybe going to some of the sessions, let me know, because we might be able to get you in some of our registrations.
How big is the Recycling Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I hadn't heard of it before, so I'm just wondering if it's publicized and I'm just missing it.
I've never heard of it before.
Really?
Good question for Scott Campbell.
Yeah, Scott.
Yeah, he's like the chair of WSRA, isn't he?
But they've been doing it for many years.
Yeah, so it's been going on for a long time.
So I would say there's...
Well, so I was having heard of it. Maybe we ought to see about getting the word out there.
Where's this meeting?
Actually, we're issuing the press release.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great.
And then, Mike, you want to do another one?
Yeah, I'll for that. So we're still continuing to move forward with the master plan. We had our developers workshop earlier in the month, and we went out and toured the site with a group of very savvy developers, and got some input from them, and that will be rolled up into a reuse plan along with input from Eric Hovde, pretty well known economics guy in the county. And that draft will be out eventually for review. I don't know exactly where we're at with that. We also had our first open house, which was Tuesday. It was kind of a better turnout than I anticipated. We, as I had mentioned at the last meeting, had sent out 1,400 notices. We had at least 70 folks show in. They're still kind of collating all the data from it. Comments, obviously, are going to take a little longer. We also had an exhibit of the 94th Street expansion, or improvements, I should say, and that seemed to garner as much attention or more attention than the master planning piece at this point. You know, we're really early on in it, and but I was really surprised by the turnout. We did have mostly positive reaction, but we had one representative from, and I never know how to take this, one individual from a neighborhood / association who expressed concern about the zoning. And both Don and I talked to him for a little bit. And in general, the zoning, as you know, is outside purview of solid waste. So basically, the comprehensive growth management plan is open for review right now, and we're going to kind of steer them that way. I want to give you a heads up, though, that they may show up when we do our review of the master planning eventually.
I was going to ask you what the potential impact on the plan right now as we're preparing it is.
You know, not really much. And I actually had this conversation with Anita. You know, it's solid waste ratepayer funds from way back when. Kind of, is it really even a solid waste issue? It's sort of almost a development issue. And
well, it's a closed landfill.
Yeah, that's the tie.
And
yeah, and I think for the most part, you know, it's going to be in phases, and that's sort of what we're promoting, is the clean light industrial properties to the south, formerly called the Koski properties. Those are the most likely to see any development anytime soon. Once 99th goes through to the north sometime between 2018 and 2020, that'll open up access to the landfill and provide opportunities for recreational use there. And so it's kind of a phased thing. And so I think what they're seeing, going to see now, is a design charrette in the next phase of the open, you know, public process, kind of out, that lays out sort of potential designs for that area.
Like, who are the critical, you know, I heard your comment, and, you know, maybe not a solid waste. And, you know, I have a little concern with that because I think that there are overlapping means for many areas within environmental services. And even in particular, whenever I hear, well, it might not relate back because it's a development issue. And I know we're breaking new ground with some of the work that we're trying to do and with what we're trying to accomplish. What are the other departments or?
Well, that's kind of what I was trying to convey to the Mr. Rangel, the individual. You're going to be involved with community development, community planning, transportation, public works, and then some DES permitting also. So, and then solid waste. I mean, as Anita pointed out, that's the tie. And we've got some economic
well, and we have
issues.
A close landfill that has yeah. It's under a typically with the Department of Ecology. So, I mean, it's definitely our issue.
Yeah, I'm not pushing this off to the side. Because, in fact, at some point we're coming back to you and saying, what's your thoughts on this, the design charrettes? And those will all be rolled up into a recommendation then to the board. So you were not skirting SWAC at all. That's why you're getting these regular updates. But it is sort of, as Anita said, we're kind of breaking new ground here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm going to rely a lot on the consultants because this is not necessarily, you know, my skill set. Mm-hmm. I have to rely on community planning, community development to get some of these things out to the public. And so they understand it better. Because really, like I say, this individual's issue was it should be zoned residential because the zoning isn't compatible. That's, we never had anything to do with the zoning at all. That was a comp plan issue.
And which person represents that area on this commission, so that I'm clear?
County, actually.
Well, probably Stevens area, North.
Perfect timing.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You know what it is, your area.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
you know, we're doing the master planning out in Leichner Landfill, and one of the neighbors to the south has got some concerns about the zoning.
And my pet peeve.
Yeah.
Why don't we back up for a moment? Would you mind introducing yourself for the record so that we can get you to the minutes just joining us?
Stephen Smythe.
And what area do you represent, Steve?
North Clark County.
Okay. And we'll spare the whole group again from going through. But, okay.
So along these lines, though, to get you folks better familiarized with the landfill, what we're doing in the master planning, what I'd like to do is at the June meeting, have the meeting out at the Waste Connections hauling company offices. They've got a big training room there. Do a tour of the site. And have Seth Otto, who is the project manager for the master planning, come and do a presentation. I think that's the best way to prepare you for, you know.
Definitely.
Can you make that happen for us? Pardon, can you make that happen for us?
Yeah.
I've already talked to him about the training room with Scott and the hauling company folks. So the training room's not an issue. We've got a place to meet. And, you know, we'll figure out transportation, get everybody a van or something and tootle around.
Is that like where at?
The old Leichner landfill, 9411.
Okay. That Waste Connections?
Yeah.
This is there.
Yeah. 9411 Northeast 94. We'll give out the information.
Yeah.
I think it's a better way to kind of introduce you to the extent of the site, kind of show you what we're doing out there. And give you a feel for its proximity to the neighborhoods.
Well, and that is a big consideration. And Stephen, you know, not to put this, you know, just on you, but, you know, I would always want to encourage each member to always reach out to their sector so that we're very.
We had an open house last night.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
You know, it went pretty well, I felt. And, you know, Don, you were there. I thought it went pretty well.
Tuesday night, yeah, very well.
Yeah, we had a couple of comments. One was about the road, and direct comments to us. One was about the road, one was about the neighborhood. I dealt with this individual on a whiny blower before that he kind of called me on, and I fixed that for him. So we actually have a pretty good rapport, and this guy is pretty sharp.
Okay. Which road are we talking about? Which road?
86th in general. So if you're coming up 94th, it's the last road before you hit the landfill. And so the neighborhood back in there. And understandably, I mean, you know, unfortunately, and this is an old story with these neighborhoods, the first thing he said to me was, the realtor told us it was going to be a golf course or a park. And this is something I hear constantly, and I have for 10 years when people, you know, somebody calls me in this area, and it's unfortunate, and I have to tell them, it's light industrial. Those are not allowed uses. I don't know what's going to be there. And I still, to this day, can't tell you what's going to be there. It's going to come out of this process of, in general, what will fit there. We won't have, and what you're going to hear from Seth is, master planning is not, I'm going to put a bowling alley right here. It's in general, these types of developments will fit within this area.
And so just as a reminder to this group, what you will be looking for then back from this group is...
is a basic, we're going to come up with two basic design charrettes. And those will kind of go out and back to the public again. It'll also come to you after it's refined from public comment again. And that's the final recommendation on, you know, what you think the best use is.
The whole landfill is not industrial, is it?
Yes. It, except right up to where 99th is going to go through, and there's about 10, 11 acres of zone, call it the residential zone, but that's only because it is zoned residential. It's, quite frankly, it's underwater about half the time.
That's the little ravine thing there.
Yeah, the north end.
So what does this group need to be prepared for that? We'll meet next month at the Waste Connection site. What does anyone in this group need to be better prepared?
Well, before you answer that, I will be having Seth come again on regular intervals and kind of give you some more updates. So you'll be, once you get involved with this first update, you're going to get a pretty good idea how the process works, and then you will be briefed again. So if you need more, tell me now. Excuse me.
Perfect.
Can my company developers were involved in the review of the master plan?
You know, there had to have been, well, they weren't reviewing the master plan. They came out to look at the site. Yeah, there were at least a dozen. And, you know, Eric Fuller was one of them, pretty well-known guy out here.
All local?
You think? Some from across the river.
Okay.
But they're all involved, either realtors, developers. Spec was involved. I mean, they're all well-known folks in the area. I mean, like I said, pretty big names. And guys out of Ridgefield, and one of them was Port of Ridgefield, or the realtor for the Port of Ridgefield. When the report comes out, those will all be listed.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I've got a couple of questions in here that are kind of gnawing at me. Being the new guy on the block here, I'm trying to figure out what the mission statement is for this organization and how getting involved with a landfill that is no longer used, that's covered up, and why this group is doing that particular effort which we're talking about doing now. Is that in the mission statement of this commission?
Well, Bill, I want to address that.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
First off, you know, I would, I'm sure you've received a book, right? Did Bill get a book? And have you taken?
I got a copy of the plan.
The plan.
Okay. And in the first section of that, there are some guiding principles and the state RCW that guides us and what our actions are. But
okay.
If you look at, you know, because we could have a whole meeting on that. And in fact, I'd invite you. I'd be happy to sit down with you and talk to you a little
okay.
bit more about that.
We can meet separately.
Yes. Yeah. But always, I'm always looking at the guiding principles that yeah. are right here on our letterhead.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Let me address just going along with Anita's statement a little bit. Anita is correct that the eventual reuse of a former solid waste facility, landfill,
mm-hmm.
and redevelopment is the nexus. It's the tie.
Okay.
And so, you know, we use these facilities, we close them, and then eventually they become either a public nuisance or a public amenity. And we're hoping through this process that the landfill itself will eventually become a public amenity for some light recreation, and then those parcels around. The basic direction we've been given is that those will be economic drivers, produce, you know, family wage earning jobs.
And just in general, I would add to the mission of this organization is that the county oversees, and we call it a regional solid waste program,
mm-hmm.
Because basically with solid waste, you want to have infrastructure that has the capabilities for serving the entire region and areas, larger areas. So we have the regional program, which is why the City of Vancouver is participating on this board. And, you know, unfortunately, landfills are part of that because the waste has to go somewhere. And once you put it in a landfill, it's like you have responsibility for it for the next 30 plus years.
Okay, responsibility is a key word there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand
and,
now.
Well, and in addition, the main purpose of this board is to make recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners for the solid waste system in terms of how we run the system and, you know, what's in, what's
okay,
done.
That makes a connection for me. Thank you.
Okay.
On the landfill, it was privately owned.
But it had county and city waste
right
in it.
Right.
So we still have the responsibility.
Right. And there was funds that are reserved
correct.
For the
post-closure and monitoring of the site
yeah.
for many, many years. It's called the Financial Assurance Reserve Fund, or FARF for short. So if you use the word, here's to use the word FARF, that's what that means. and the fund still has, even after 20 years, we have about $9 million in it. I just did the required annual financial assurance projection for Department of Ecology. At the current burn rate, we're out there somewhere between 2024 and 2027 before we run out of money. And there's a series of agreements that kind of set out how the landfill would be managed between the City of Vancouver and Clark County, because we both put money into it, the ratepayers. And, you know, some of that money can be used to master plan and redevelop it. But right now, with the projection being so tight, one of the other things that came out of that agreement is that any money from the sale of those excess properties would have to go back into that FARF.
Okay.
And so, essentially replenish the FARF, and then that would allow us then to kind of invest more money into the landfill for some future use. And redevelopment.
Now, this particular fund, is it compartmentalized at all? Some of it only used for specific purposes, or is it a general
Absolutely
fund?
Compartmentalized. It's very specific in its uses. It's held in trust by the county, but there's consent decree at the landfill that says these are the actions that you'll take. And then there are also agreements between the county, Utilities and Transportation Commission, that also, you know, and the City of Vancouver, that we all signed. It was about a five-party agreement that says these are the uses of the funds and these are the uses of the excess funds. And Brian Carlson is mm-hmm. very familiar with this process. If you've got more questions, he was completely involved with it.
I talk to him quite often, so yeah, okay, I'll get to him.
Anything else, guys? And ladies?
Right, yeah, I'm here. Good thing you guys are here. Okay. I do want to stop a minute briefly because we have the Honorable Don Benton, Would you like to say a few words?
If I could, Madam Chair, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
I won't impact your agenda too adversely.
We have to be done by 8, you know.
Make it short, Don.
That's difficult for me, Council. I know that.
Yeah. I've heard that.
First, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, thank you for allowing me to speak to you this evening. I wanted to, first and foremost, thank you all for your efforts and your work on the Commission. Your input to not only me and the Department, but the Board of Commissioners is extremely valuable, and the Commissioners have asked me to convey that to you. So thank you for your service. Secondly, I owe you an apology for not being here sooner. I've had my hands full since my appointment, and believe it or not, it's approaching a year, if you can imagine that. I don't know where the time has gone, but you heard Mike's presentation and Anita's on other things, but we've been very busy, not just in this division, but we've got 3 other divisions that keep us pretty busy too. So been a lot of plate spinning, if you will, running back and forth and making sure none of them fall. So the department's in good shape. Morale has improved dramatically. Our budget situation has improved and will improve even more, especially in clean water after our, I think, the first meeting in June of the Board of Commissioners. Will have our financial situation in clean water under control. So we would have to do a lot of work to make that happen, but we have balanced our books and we're not facing bankruptcy anymore in the clean water division, which is very good news for us. So that's pretty much it. Just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Please keep doing it. We need your help and input. I want to make myself available to you at any time. Don't put my cell number in the minutes, Sabra, but I'm happy to give you all my personal cell number, 600-1492. Feel free to call me at any time. My office extension at the office is 5358. So day or night, if something comes up, or you're bothered by something or just need clarification on anything. Anything from the FARF to, you just heard that term tonight, the FARF, that's our financial fund for the Leichner landfill. But no questions off limits. If I don't have an answer for you, I'll find somebody who does. So I'm at your disposal, as is my entire staff, for any questions or concerns that you may have. We can't help you if we don't know you need the help, so please reach out to us if you need anything. We're here to supply you with all the help and information you need to make the best decisions you can make. So I'm happy to respond to any questions if you have any. Or at least attempt.
We're speechless?
You want me off the hook easy tonight?
You're not speechless.
I always have things to say, but everybody already knows the things I say. I don't hold back. Anyone?
Very good. Well, feel free to
I'm sure. Me. I'm sure in a couple more meetings under my belt, I'll have some.
I'm sure you will. And I welcome that. So don't hesitate if something comes up later tonight or tomorrow. You go, gosh, I should have asked him when I had it. Just give me a call. I'm very accessible. Happy to meet with you at any time. So I have met with your chair already a couple of times, and happy to meet with any one of you at any time. So I know Councilman Turley quite well, worked with him on other projects, so I want to be as accessible to you as you need me to be.
Thank you for making the effort, and we will be. Actually, it was mentioned, you know, that it may be a good time. Our vice chair is not here this evening, but you know, we will be bringing some things. We are trying to keep our solid waste management plan recommendations on track.
Been following that process very closely.
And I personally am very excited about our new chapter, which, you know, Pete has been very instrumental. You know, and everyone, we have pushed, thank you for not complaining about me while I'm here. We've pushed very hard. We're looking forward to making some new ground for the state.
I am too. So thank you for your efforts.
Okay, and with that, let's move right into the city of Vancouver. Tanya, please, do you want to come up here so we can see it?
Well, sure. Thank you, Commissioners, for your time. time tonight. I have three updates for you. I selected these updates to give you examples of how the solid waste program guiding principles are being carried out in day-to-day programs. I'll try and be brief. When I summarize them, they turned out to be a page, so I'm sure it won't take long for me to do this. First of all, our neighborhood cleanups are in full swing. Neighborhood cleanups are a program offered to residents within the city of Vancouver. It's one of the specifications in our comprehensive collection contract with Waste Connections. So each neighborhood can have one cleanup day scheduled on a Saturday each year, and Waste Connections provides the trucks and labor for the cleanup event, and the city covers the cost of disposal. So it's very popular with our organized neighborhoods within the city. We have 66 of those neighborhoods, and 42 have scheduled a cleanup event this year. We've had four of those cleanups to date. May and June are the busiest months for cleanups. We have 12 cleanup events scheduled in May and June, 12 each.
Tanya, do you mind if I just ask, because I know we work very hard on that grant that comes, I think, every other year. And what is the status of, I know that we have talked about that, and also because I represent other, not that I'm not pleased for Vancouver, but small cities and towns are my gig. And has there been any movement toward?
What we ended up negotiating with Ecology in the grant scope is the expanded collection events.
Okay.
So the recycling days, the ones that we were just talking about, and all of the materials that are being collected. We're doing them in conjunction with all of the small cities around.
Okay.
That's how we ended up expanding the program.
It's a great program, and I just think that, you know, these are the things that I'd like to see.
That's great.
Yeah.
And in similar to that, so the city's neighborhood cleanup is focused on garbage mostly. It addresses the waste items that a household may have that doesn't fit in your typical cart. It's that opportunity during the year to get rid of the large things that don't fit in the cart. It's not for household garbage. It's for those bulky items. But several years ago, with the cost of disposal rising, the city implemented a resource recovery challenge to the neighborhoods. And we had a menu of activities they could choose from. We asked them to do three of the activities to reduce the disposal costs. Things like recycling scrap metal, diverting yard debris, having items pulled out that were brought to the cleanup and donated for reuse, tree plantings, or recycling presentation. They could choose three of these, and if they report that back to the city, we would give them $100 credit or $100 to deposit in their neighborhood treasury. So that program helped kind of expand just the excitement about being able to get rid of things and trying to get as many tons as you can to thinking more wisely about the resources that are coming in. So that's the update on the neighborhood cleanups. Spring coupons, which I believe Rich may have given you a brief update on, that's another component of the programs offered to city residents. Each garbage customer receives in their garbage bill in April two coupons that are good for the disposal of yard debris at our designated contract sites that are contracted for disposal of yard debris, and one coupon for disposal of up to four tires. And those, if you do not receive a paper bill from Waste Connections, then the city sends you an email notifying you they're available, and you can request them and we'll send them to you directly. Each household gets one set of those coupons. We're in full swing in that, and the coupons will be valid through the end of June.
So quick question, comment. You know, it seems as though when the economy gets to a certain point, tire sales or used tire sales become a very popular thing, and all of a sudden it's a booming business. How do we manage that? And since we're in your city portion, I'd love to hear how the city of Vancouver actually, is it a special permit for someone to have 200 tires on a lot? How do we manage that? I mean, from mosquito control and then from, you know, it hasn't happened, I haven't seen it here, but notoriously somebody would set tires on fire, and I'm sure, you know, you're familiar with that. How do we manage that?
The accumulation of tires? There are restrictions on that. Actually, Joe, you might.
I don't know the specifics because I've only dealt with it a couple times, but I believe it's anything, like Melissa said, around 50 tires or more?
There's some limit, yes.
Yeah, right. And after that, it becomes a permitted facility.
And so how can we know if something is permitted, for example? I mean, they're just sprouting up all over. I know almost, you know, the addresses of at least three of them. And it seems like it kind of just sprung up overnight, and I thought, ooh, you know.
We would definitely be the contact for that. We could, we have, we keep a data system basically just for the facilities and permits, so.
And they would not be eligible to dispose of tires at these?
They could, if they're a customer, they could, yeah, they, okay. There's the recycling events,
yes,
that the county is
at. We are taking tires this year.
So they can bring 50 tires.
A business can bring tires?
You cannot bring 50, you can bring 4. But you could come to all 9 events and you could show up a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to see what can be done with those tires, come to my house.
Yeah.
My roof is made from recycled automobile tires. 750 of them are on my roof. You want to see it? It's an import from Calgary, Alberta. Company up there can make you a roof of any color you want out of recycled automobile tires.
These are shredded tires?
These are shredded, okay, and put back together. No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It should be. It costs as much as most some houses. But do come by sometime and look at the roof. It's 750 of them up there.
We can have a roof party at your house.
That's it.
Do they mold them in the shape of a tile or what?
No, it's a beauty. Yeah, it's a beautiful. It comes in the pieces are about like so by so, and they're tiled, and they interlock, and they had to use stainless steel nails to put them in because, and it's a 50-year roof, and they will not. It's as heavy as two shingle roofs, and they had to use stainless steel because regular steel would rot out in 50 years. So
I can say they're going to bounce.
Do they have a wear surface on top?
No. Well, I mean it's just
we need to move on, guys, because we have to get to the meat. Okay.
But that's a good use for them, and there are uses for them.
Okay.
So if you know a problematic tire pile, the health department, yes, can research that for you and figure out what's permitted. Otherwise, residential levels can be disposed of either through the city's program or the county recycling day. My final update is about a multifamily contamination project we're doing, specifically focusing on the glass. So we're talking about the recycling stream that comes from the multifamily complexes. Based on reports we received from our processor, Waste Connections, and also the 2013 allocation study, which is the study where we look at the recycling stream we're getting from single-family homes and multifamily homes and determine what the components of it are, how much paper, how much glass, how much aluminum, how much contamination. We made a decision that we really needed to address contamination. Recycling done right is our new motto for our recycling programs. We're trying to get it cleaned up, a high-quality recycling. The data from the multifamily recycling stream is showing an increase of residue, which is the non-recyclable materials, to over 20%. So we decided we needed to focus on it. The team consists of members from Clark County Solid Waste, City of Vancouver Solid Waste, and Waste Connections, and we've put together a plan to, first of all, assess the contamination in a selected group of multifamily complexes. Then we will do a 3-month concentrated education and outreach effort to the complexes that we've sampled. And then we'll go back at the end of the 3-month education project and look at the contamination and see if it made a difference. While we're doing the education and outreach, it gives us a chance to look at other things, labeling, container size, layout, that may be affecting the quality of the material, and we'll be able to address those. Depending on our success, then we can determine if it's something useful rolling out to the rest of the residents.
Now, is it much worse than in single family?
It is. And there's two aspects I really want to hit on for the Solid Waste Advisory Commission. First of all, we made a concerted effort as a region back from 2007 to 2009 when we were researching changes in our recycling system to keep glass on the side. We made a concerted effort to do that because we wanted to preserve the value of the paper and the glass in our recycling that we collect curbside. Keeping those two separate makes a big difference in terms of whether or not it can be recycled at the end. The other thing I wanted to emphasize is multifamily is probably 200 tons a month. It's not a huge amount of tons in terms of our overall program, but multifamily complexes represent 32,955 households in our community. So it's really a lot of people living in a multifamily complex. And we want to make sure that they're getting the services that they need in the way that makes sense for them. So if something's not working in the system, we'd like to go back and take a look at solutions for that. And that's so all I got.
You call it contaminant.
Mm-hmm.
What? Define what that is.
That's a good question. So the way we're collecting the recycling from multifamily complexes, they used to have three carts that mirrored our three tubs. It was containers, paper, and newspaper. When we converted, we said, okay, now one of those carts will be glass and the other two will be mixed recycling and everything else. What's happening is the glass carts seem to be filled with a lot of stuff other than just glass. And some of it is mixed recycling, so it's as if they ran out of room in the mixed recycling and just started filling the glass cart with it. Some of it is garbage. And sometimes the glass is getting into the mixed recycling carts. So we're hoping to learn a little more exactly. Those are all anecdotal stories about what's in it. We're hoping to learn more exactly what's in it when we do our contamination survey coming up soon.
Okay, so you're talking about not what's in the garbage, the trash stream. You're talking about what's in the recycling.
That's right. This is only
glass.
About recycling. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think my opinion is there's a lot of people that don't care that live there. But I know I've been in, some of my kids live in those, and it's not made easy. And that's an issue.
Excellent. We'll take a look at that.
It's my opinion. I know what
you're saying. Well, you are a recommender here, and so this is important because if we do need to do something,
the ones that I've noticed, it's like they're set up for trash containers, but it's like, they got enclosures. And there's room for a trash container, but you got to look around to find the recycle bin, and it's like it over here, and it's too small and stuff like that.
And we hope to address those issues.
One time I went to Pendleton, Oregon, and I was walking around places like this, and they seem to do okay with the paper and the rest of it, but like you say, with the glass bottles, they had like wire baskets for them where they could see actually that stuff was in the wrong. And it seemed like that they were trained to put glass in those bad wire disposal things. And it worked for them. At least it was nice and clean in all the places I went to. But you could see right through. It's not like putting them in a bin where you can hide, like you mentioned, the trash.
Sure. It would be a nice day if we had, I don't want to say commercial, but, at a grocery store and you had, it used to be years back when I was growing up, and I don't know, maybe they didn't do that here, but you would take your newspaper, you'd bundle it off, and, all of these things were always seen as very valuable, and to have fights for plastic, and there are problems because people will dispose of things that they shouldn't, but I would very much like to see at some future point that when you go to the grocery store, that's when you take your items, because it is a little difficult for people who live in different dwellings and don't have it at their curb. It's hard enough even at my curb. But I would really like to see that because I think that addresses that. You go to the grocery store and you grab your bag of bottles and you dump them in when you get there. But it is a major monumental effort.
It's hard to get some of the people to even take their bags, though.
I'm sorry?
It's hard to get the people to even take their shopping bags in nowadays.
Well, it is a behavioral, it is a behavioral facet, but we have to make things within ways that people do it.
Albertsons puts a sign up.
The grocery store probably wouldn't appreciate me saying that, to put a collection sign right at their But I do think we need to make it easier.
Yeah. Albertson's got a sign, you know, bring your bag in.
Oh, several.
Yeah.
They are.
One too.
Yeah.
Does the technology exist that you can put bottles or glass into just your normal recycle?
Yes, processing equipment, there are communities that have single stream.
And I would assume that that's a lot more expensive than what West Connections has here?
It's, the broken glass can sometimes damage the processing equipment. But really what happens is you lose more of the value of the material you're trying to recycle.
Plus you contaminate the other items.
So
that's what I was talking about, equipment that would process that and separate it.
Yeah, but if you have broken glass, it's really difficult
to
process it and get it out of the paper, and then you ruin all your paper if you cut broken glass.
So the new equipment doesn't work right with broken glass, is that what you're saying?
With small pieces of broken glass, you just can't do it. Large pieces, they can.
I was just looking for in the future to see if there's something coming down this pipe that will take care of that.
Well, they do have hand sorters.
Yeah.
Well, also, there's no market for the glass. All we do with the glass at the recycle center is grind it up and put it back on the road.
Oh, but we have a good update.
But there's a new program coming out. Yeah, go ahead.
Now's the time. Here's your. This was your entree here.
This is great. I can afford the bullets. So it's true. When we started separating the glass markets were not. They were dismal. And now E-Cullet has opened up a facility in Portland, Oregon, and they have a phenomenal optical sorter that took a pile of glass with not just glass in it and sorted it into the three colors of glass. The three main ones are amber, clear, and green. And that is a joint venture. It's called Glass to Glass Recycling, and it's a joint venture between E-Cullet, a glass processor, and Owens, Illinois, which makes glass bottles. The reason this is fabulously exciting is we get the energy savings that is so important in any recycling program. You want to save energy. That's why we get these materials back. It's not about conserving landfill space. It's about saving the energy in those materials that we already mined from the earth, and we want to keep that in our economy. If we use it for landfill, it's good. It doesn't go to the landfill. I mean, if we use it for road-based, did I say landfill? Road-based, it doesn't go to the landfill. And it provides an engineering structural material, but we lose the energy value that was in it. So we're pretty excited about glass-to-glass recycling, that we can take our glass collected curbside and turn it back into the bottle.
And because we collect it separately, we're in a really good position to utilize this company.
Okay, so what you're saying is this new facility in Portland actually returns the glass to the glass stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. For reproduction, opposed to recycling into a road.
That's right.
Right, which is cheaper than making new glass.
Yeah,
that's
the key to it.
Is that on stream yet?
Yes.
Okay.
They are operating.
And that's only bottles? Or what kinds of glasses?
Well, you know, I don't know where they're marketing all their glass cullet. I know they're obligated to give a certain amount to Owens, Illinois. To make bottles, but once Owen's quantity is satisfied, they can market their glass wherever, whoever is willing to buy it.
Yeah, but I mean, the recycle, as I understood, the only recyclable glass is bottles.
Right, window panes and things are so
typical. Yes, that's
containers true. Typically what are recyclable.
But windshields, window glass.
It's different.
It's
laminated.
Yep.
So I have one more comment to add on it. So we still have one large pile out there of the glass that had been centrifuged down to, you know, whatever size. And we're kind of working to market that last big pile and get rid of it. And then only on rare occasions will we go back to utilizing that system or in a situation where the market goes south again. So once we get that knocked back, we're in really good shape not to have a mountain glass out there. And that was sort of the plan in 2008, is we would do that until the markets came online, and then we would go to this new system, and we've been waiting and waiting, but here it is.
Okay, so our glass is going to Portland now to this facility?
Except for the pile. That pile, they can't take it as optical sorter because it's been reduced to a size that's too small.
Right.
But our other glasses.
But there's still an opportunity to put that in rolls.
Reuse. Pipe bedding had been the best use for it, but WashDOT sort of changed their standards recently, and that's kind of made it a little tougher. So they want it blended with, you know, more natural rock to use it, and blending just costs money. So we're working on getting rid of it. It'll go away eventually.
What would they consider asphalt grindings an acceptable mix with glass?
It all depends on the depth, you know, and what you're mixing it with. So if you're using it for the pipe bedding, for example, they wanted it mixed with natural gravel at a certain, you know, percentage. But if the deeper you get down in the roadbed itself, you know, you can use cobble and a variety of stuff. And it has to be, once again, it all has to be mixed. And they've got another product out there that's been breaking up, which is old cement and asphalt. And that definitely can go deeper in the roadbed.
And rubber tires.
I don't know about rubber tires.
I don't know about in our area, but in Arizona, boy, when you drive on some of those freeways, you can't believe how quiet.
Oh, that's the asphalt.
It's right. Embedded rubber in the asphalt.
Yeah.
Same with transmission as well.
It's just wonderful. Do we have a point of contact so we could maybe go, I'd like to see that machine work.
Yeah, at E-Collet, Wayne Jackson is the general manager over there. I'm sure we can get that information.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Are they taking concrete and asphalt?
Yeah.
Are they crushing it on site?
E-Collet?
No, they're bringing somebody in. And I don't know how much longer or what they're going to do because they're getting kind of, it was sort of experimental for their own hauling company, you know, sort of off C&D jobs. And they're trying to work with the rock guys and everything to find markets for it. And, you know, like I said, I'm working with them to find a market for that last pile of glass, but they're kind of on their own for the rubble.
Perfect. The concrete and asphalt, that's a good market.
The asphalt, especially asphalt to asphalt, and that's what we told them.
Perfect.
How big is your, quote, pile?
5,000 tons.
That's a pretty good size.
Thank you. Yeah, you got a good pile.
It's marketable. Yeah. That's the good thing about the pile. Yeah.
Someday. Yeah. Anyway, I'm out of here, folks.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, I did not see Department of Ecology, so we'll move right into our next item. Overview of updated draft solid waste management plan, Anita.
I don't know if we moved right into it or not, but we'll start. I just wanted to give everyone kind of an overview of where we are with the management plan update and where we're at in the process, what we still have left to do. I think the good news for this body is that we're getting pretty close to finishing up the draft. So everybody several months ago actually got a copy of this. So this is what we've taken all of the review chapters. It's taken out the red lines that we, the changes that we made. It's put it into a new format. Hopefully it's cuter and more readable. But there's still some things that we have to do. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we, Ecology did a cursory review of this for us. And then they came up with some comments and some things that we have to address also. So what's left on the list to do is we need to complete our economy chapter. That we're now calling Waste to Wealth. And we're still working on that. We'll talk about that some more tonight. One of the things that Ecology recommended was to do 20-year projections for the population, tonnage, and facility needs, and then a 6-year capital plan. So we're working on that as staff, and we'll be bringing that to you, and we'll be including that information as additions to Chapter 7 and 8. So we'll bring that back, and we'll review that. Also, as part of that, in terms of the projections, we have the feasibility study that Waste Connections is currently doing, and the feasibility study is comparing the need for a north transfer station versus making improvements to the central transfer station. So that, you know, we'll finish that, the feasibility study, we'll review that as a group, but that will be rolled into the capital plan and, you know, what our recommendations are for that. As part of the plan update, we have to do a WUTC cost assessment, which is the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission. And we have to do a CEPA review, and then we have to review all of our interlocal agreements with the cities. So we'll be making, we'll be adding all of that information to our draft. And then internally, we'll have to do a final review just to make sure that all of the information is as current as it can be, because we've been working on this for, you know, several months. And we crossed years, and we have new data, so we need to just go back and make sure it's the most up-to-date information that we have. And then at that time, we'll do a review again, and we will take it out to all of the city councils for a review with them, and then we'll have a work session with the Board of County Commissioners.
And do you have a timeline on this? I'm sorry.
I do. Hopefully to have it with the cities and the work session between July and August.
July and August, okay.
Yeah. And then we'll submit it to Ecology for, they call it a preliminary review, but it's their formal review. They have 120 days to finish the review. And once we get that back, then it goes into the public arena to solicit public input, finish the CEPA review. Then we deem it a final document, and it gets adopted by the cities, all of the cities, and the Board of County Commissioners. And then we give the final to Ecology, and they have 45 days to review it. Hopefully by that time they've seen it enough that they're on board with it.
That by the end of this year?
That whole process would be around February of 2015, so close to the end of the year. So we are moving away from our review and moving it more to the external parties and the governing entities. So.
Does the DOE give any indication at all that they're having any problem with what they did on their speed read test?
No, I mean, they made comments, specific comments about things that they thought should be, you know, addressed, and we're taking all of those.
There's nothing contentious about any of the items that they've...
There wasn't anything contentious, okay. No, not at all. Good. So it's just, and a lot of their things on their list was we knew about it, we just hadn't gotten there yet.
Okay.
But they actually did a pretty good review, because they did have some language that they wanted included, so we'll put that in. And so
is there some way you can put this up so we could get into a portal or something like this so that we can review it without having to have multiple print copies?
It's actually on our website. We can send you the link.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
This is actually a draft. Right.
This is draft.
And now keep in mind, though, and I know, Stephen, I'm trying to remember the year that you came on board here with us, but this happens. This is a five-year cycle. And so this has been going on for...
It's an update of an existing plan, so, I mean...
Right. But
this is my second cycle, full cycle.
Yeah.
Maybe almost third.
Maybe. You may have come on at the end of the other
year. Yeah.
Do you ever get any feedback how this stacks up against the other counties?
No.
So you know, here's the thing, though, Alan, is, you know, we're really in competition with ourselves, and this is why I'm constantly saying, you know, in all the years that I have served on this, is it's really important to get feedback, because when I make time to go meet with the small cities and towns that I represent, I always make it a note to say, how do you use this plan? And of course, okay, Steve read my brain there, is that they say, well, you know, what we mostly do is we'll call Anita, or we'll call Tanya, or we'll call Rich, or and that is why I have pressed so hard for us, when we look at this, how do we use it? And how would we use it? And if we can move forward with one great chapter that somebody says, this is such a great chapter, I leave it up on my corner like a lesson plan in a schoolhouse, then we will know that we have achieved some cohesiveness among working together. Because otherwise, we end up running within boundaries, I believe, you know, and, that has to do with water, that's not us. Well, I think we're all connected on all these subjects. And so I really just want to, for those of us who are fairly new, we really need to have an understanding of, you know, if it is a pile of junk to you, you know, it's that, what was that, garbage in, garbage out, you know, sort of thing, it really does not make any sense. And that's why it is so important to really think hard. And if it doesn't make sense to you, you know, we're not all on hot subjects. You know, Jeannie had her favorite. Hopefully you'll have your favorite subject, Phil. You know, but we all have...
I love it all.
Okay. We all have our favorite subjects, but I cannot impress upon you, because otherwise we may as well go down to the legislature and say, you know what, disband us, because then there is no purpose for us. So this is actually what I believe is one of our most important jobs, and moving to Anita, because, you know, would you agree this is really one of our most important jobs?
Well, this is my job. And
so,
it's important.
You know, and we've provided a lot of input. We've had scratch-outs. We've had rewrites. We've had added new chapters. So what you do say does really go in. I like to think we're leaders. That's what I've heard from Department of Ecology. I'll just say.
You know, it's an interesting question, and so I think I will seek feedback from Ecology, because they obviously do see all of the other plans, and yeah, give us some feedback about that.
I'd be disappointed if we weren't leaders. Okay. All right. So are we ready to move into then the...
Yeah.
Pete, you ready?
Yes.
Yes, of it? Come on down.
You wouldn't want to ask them how we stack up.
Well, we do know. This is new ground. This is new ground.
Okay, well, last go around, we had just presented the chapter without giving it to you for formal review. So it's now been sent out and reviewed. We have prepared some recommendations that we can share, but the intent also was to get feedback from you. If you have recommendations, certainly can answer questions specific to the chapter itself. The intent here, this is more of a visionary chapter, to try to set a vision of where we want to go, rather than some of these other chapters where we're just addressing the problem of garbage coming through. And there is an overlay of trying to create jobs and also economic value to the community, which is very important. So with that, we have thrown out quite an array of things. One is more of trying to lure some industry, manufacturing, green eco parks, something along those lines. Bill made some good comments at the last meeting. Certainly want to tap into some of his knowledge. That may not be specifically what we do as a solid waste program. We've got other agencies that are looking at economic development. But maybe we can partner. Maybe we can convene something. There's also opportunity to look at, as one of our founding principles, is to manage our solid waste locally. Currently, we're sending off our yard debris, about 20,000 tons, over to Oregon. That's a pretty good resource. It also prohibits us from collecting food waste in our yard carts, which we're also doing in some other communities, because they're not set up to compost that mixed material. So one of those options is looking at the opportunity, possibly, to site a compost facility. We recently went down and toured one in Corvallis, owned by Republic. A pretty low-tech operation, and they're putting through, they're receiving about 110,000 tons a year, and then putting out 70,000 with minimal odor problems. They're, of course, situated away from neighbors.
If I may interrupt you right
yep.
now for a second, that particular program like that, they have it up in Seattle now. And I have a daughter and son-in-law and family there, six kids running around out there, and when the wind's blowing wrong, their home is just unbearable with the stench out there, and there's nothing they can do about it. So if we ever get into this area, I've got life experiences there that
yes.
really have a big problem in their neighborhood. Some people are having trouble selling their homes because of that odor. So. Yeah.
And again, we'd be looking at zone industrial and a solid waste management type permit.
Okay. And a remote area with
yes.
neighbors.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
This, yes. Again, there's some other pieces we put in here. Some are smaller scale, but also very involved with solid waste. One is looking at the reusables that potentially go into the waste stream that can be pulled out. That type of materials, household reusables could end up in a Goodwill type scenario. They've been doing that at the Metro transfer stations over in Portland. We just found out for, it seems like, a good 5-6 years, we've got a St. Vincent de Paul trailer and an employee full-time pulling material out. They pull out about 200 tons a year.
At their transfer station.
Transfer station.
Yeah. St. Vincent de Paul puts a trailer and an employee.
Yeah.
How many transfer stations in Portland they do?
Well, they're doing, that specific one is happening at Metro South. They've got two transfer stations. And then Metro Central, we actually have it toured. They're run by different companies through contract.
But they're only doing it in the South,
I think. I think St. Vincent de Paul is in South only, and then there may be another one in South. Maybe I'll have a chance to follow.
That sounds like a really good idea.
It's a great, yeah, and they all seem really positive about it. Republic Services, who runs that, they're sorters, they're spotters, actually looking for things to get to the same place.
Could I ask a question on that? You mentioned tours. Is there value that we can get for maybe loading four people into a car and go visiting some of these things, and especially if they're more advanced over on the other side of the river, that we could set up a tour for people who haven't been there who have an interest in it?
I think that'd be great. Yeah.
I do, because this is a brand new subject to me, and I'm very interested.
Well, especially if we were going to tie in the glass to glass, and then we could head up to Metro South, and we could do a 4-hour take an afternoon.
It'd be nice to see the West Band, too.
Yeah.
I would be willing to devote a day to it, to drive down in the morning and go through there, have lunch, see another one, and come back.
Why don't we throw together a quick destination and a very short description, and then maybe we can pick and choose
sure.
what would be the best. CPU does have a big band. We could all pile in.
A couple of them.
That's Trace.
We've done it before, though.
Yeah, we've been to the landfills.
Well, if you want to go to Corvallis, we can give you some Republic ads.
We haven't been here.
Yeah.
I just outside. I've never been in and been in the building, and
okay.
you know, to look at the recycling
yeah.
operation is what I'm interested
yeah.
in. I've dumped down there before.
Yeah.
Usually I'm out there 117th when I dump stuff.
Yeah.
They have not at their transfer stations over on the Metro side been as successful pulling out construction demolition products, windows, roofing for reuse, mostly because that stuff's getting diverted. But we did talk about that in here. I think the last piece here, and I might have skipped over some of the other smaller ones, there is one about using our solid waste fund in a very innovative way that they've done in some other counties. Again, that certainly would raise some issues. It would limit some of potential financing if we were needing to purchase land or do upgrades for a compost facility. So, again, there's limited or economic opportunity and cost.
How much coordination are you doing with the economic development at the city with also at CREDC?
I think that comes back to, at this point, very little, because we haven't stepped out in that realm yet. But if this group feels that we have something worth convening a group or stepping out to promote, then we certainly can make that recommendation that we want to form.
Well, I was thinking the other way around is to not to increase the size and volume of what you've got going here, but to mention this more of in passing, and then share your ideas with both of those. Well, actually, there's three. There's the economic development here at the county, city, and CRADC. And then let them do all of the work on that, but make suggestions to them, let them do that. Then all you have to do is have maybe about four pages here.
Sure.
Certainly not to take on any more responsibility here if there's somebody already doing that, because I don't want to go back and reinvent wheels. That doesn't make much sense to me.
And I think the example we talked about in this plan was some innovative recycling. It's actually the carbon fiber that's happening in the eastern part of this state. There was some very specific legislative push that the governor had done. And so if we were to focus on an industry or and say something like, you know, the county between 100,000 and 500,000 and located in the southern part of the state could waive all taxes if they lured in this.
Yeah, there's incentives. We don't have as many as Oregon does. So
if we were to do that, we would need to, CRADC is probably not going to be that focused. So if we had a focused vision, that's something we would need to, to push. And again, that would come from this group.
Right.
And we do have the Honorable Senator Benton, who could also possibly push for things at the state level.
So, Pete and Anita, are the commissioners aware now of this work that we are doing, would you say? Or, personally, I have not had any experience to where this has been communicated, and my concern is that if we don't communicate out, it's going to be very hard to move forward, because it's going to be a plan that's going to sit on a desk and nobody's going to use if people aren't aware. And so I would like to know, because we are a body who makes recommendations, that we have put a lot into this. This is a recommendation to them to say, you know what, we think that more could be done. Is this being spoken up to through staff and communicated upward?
Well, certainly we communicate with Don, which is basically our line of communication. And I do know that he has talked to the commissioners about it. And I don't know if we want to, because we drafted some recommendations and just kind of throw them out on the table and just kind of to start the conversation. So I don't know if you want to look at those now or not. But basically, you know, if we have recommendations for the chapter, then they become part of the solid waste management plan. And then that's really, you know, all of our working orders. And, you know, then it goes to the board adopts it, and, you know, and it becomes part of the plan.
In my experience, the best way for something to fail is to not have your top leaders support this. And I have had limited conversations, and that's why I specifically ask, and I guess...
But I do know that they support jobs.
Well, we heard that came through. And so I guess my question is that do we need to put that in the form of a recommendation that this specifically begins? I don't think we can wait until it goes through. You know, I can recognize that process is important, but I really believe that for this to be truly innovative, we need to make sure that we have our commissioner's support. And is that something that, what does the rest of the commission believe in this subject?
You're asking for support from the county commissioners?
Well, not necessarily support. They need to be informed.
What we're looking at, and to make sure that they don't have objections.
They're on board.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're headed in the wrong direction.
They're going to adopt it, correct?
However, let me back up a minute, because I know usually it's Don and myself, and we, you know, and when we have a meeting with the commissioner, and we talk about some of the things, you know, it becomes rather embarrassing if you're sitting there and you're talking about something, and then all of a sudden, I have had one instance where they said, well, isn't that your job to study that, because we can't be experts on everything, and didn't you recommend this to us? And now I just want to, you know, remind you that if you've ever gone to a commissioner's meeting, things are coming through, and we do sometimes have a commissioner or two stop at that. I haven't had time to study this. But more often than not, they're really putting a lot. And I have to just be very clear. And if Jeannie were here, Bill, I'm gonna have to talk to you before the meeting so we can banter together back and forth, City of Vancouver, with all of the small cities and towns. But I have constantly made very positive remarks on the merits of this group, and that's why I was asking each one of you, who do you recommend, who do you represent? And if we're not coming here, and if we're just coming here and sitting in our own persons, and yes, granted, we all have day jobs, then we're not really doing our job, because even on the last subject of some of the issues that have come through on how are we going to solve some of the money issues and do we have any ideas for that. We all, I had noted with the commissioners, Don and I had a comment with each one of them that I didn't see anywhere in all the media discussion where anybody had commented and said, you know, our first call was to the Solid Waste Commission to find out what their thoughts on newspapers and litter were. I don't really remember that, recall that. And I can almost tell you now, though, that since we have spoken up, we will be held accountable. And so I say this, that if we need Anita to ask, Don Benton to make certain,
yes,
that he has the comments.
And that's the route.
Because
the chain of command.
It needs to make happen, because otherwise this will sit on a shelf, and in 5 years when we are reviewing this again, we won't be going through the very same thing. And I really would prefer not to do that. I would really, like to know that Pete has been promoted to major entourage economic development leader, aside from all the other
things. With a pay raise, right, Pete?
Yeah.
Don't we have a problem already, though, with that they're letting the cat out of the bag with this litter tax for newspapers over 50,000 people?
Well, now, visiting in that subject, we were not asked on that.
No.
So we were not asked on that. And so, quite honestly, what happened was, I was not thinking that the solid waste, and quite honestly, I was rather upset, and I worked Don up quite well on a Friday night. But I just want to impress upon all of us here that this is really, if we don't speak up, then we may as well just enjoy each other's company. And I want to make certain that they are certain of the hard work of all the times that, hopefully I've not driven you nuts yet, Pete, but, I have phoned up and said, what's going on here? Because these are not really work session meetings. We are here to come and to give direction so that it works its way up and so that we can make a good recommendation up to our commissioners, and that we are a well-greased machine. And I'll tell you, I spoke about each one of us here, about all these different entities, it's important. So
is it something we can't do, given the timeline that we've just discussed? And the copy that we've got, and say, this is where we're at. And then if they come back at us and they say, well, we've never seen this before, we say, oh, yeah, on May 1st, the tanks rolled in Red Square, and we handed you the solid waste plant.
However, though, I would take it a step further, that I believe it is our responsibility to digest this and to put that into some recommendation, because then it goes back through. They are the administrators for the county, and what that means that, I'm sure you're familiar with your local CEO, where you volunteer all the time, and such. And so, once again, to understand And maybe, you know, this makes me think that at some point we ought to maybe understand the hierarchy of decision making and such. We'll put that on the back burner, but let's make a notation somewhere.
Yes, if you'd
like. Please?
One of the things that we have at City Council is 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock or somewhere like that in the afternoon before the evening council meeting, we have workshops. Do we have those here at the county level?
That's correct.
This would be a good subject to say, here's our status now, and give us a little bit of policy guidance. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. You know, we say, okay, and the city manager says that to us. He says, now, what I really need is some guidance. Are we doing the right way? And we look around, we don't vote on it, but they had to go like this, and so then the city manager takes that as that's the way that the council is going to proceed, or wants to proceed.
Yeah.
So if you do that, then...
And we have talked about that, yeah.
That's the time then it gets up to the commissioners. They're aware of it. They understand the status and give a little guidance on which way they'd like to go. That makes your job much easier. Then you're not trying to second-guess them.
Right. And I think that's very well spoken. And if we could make that in a notation, and we'll develop a way, maybe, Anita, we can work on that and how we can work into our...
Well, the main thing I need to do is talk to Don.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But at this point, are you talking about the economy chapter?
I am. I am specifically talking about this because this has been near and dear, and this is something that I'll tell you. You know, someday when I go down, I hope somebody says, "By golly, you know what? That was one thing I remember." Yeah.
You want that on your headstone?
I do. Thank you. Okay, look out for me. Getting to the work of the matter, Pete, I didn't want to interrupt, but I do want to not let that go.
But I do think we need to finish the chapter and have recommendations, because whatever we take forward, even if we take it as a work session and, you know, it's like kind of floated out and it's like, this is what we
need. Even so, though, I would just suggest, and it's outside of the way government works, you know, so I could understand that there might be a, you know, this is how we do it. But granted, in seeing how this gets implemented throughout our county, I don't think, and I'm a rule breaker, you know, I fully subscribe. Well-behaved women rarely make history. I believe we need to communicate that we are working on this, what our intention is,
yes,
that it is in a state of progress, but that this is coming. And again, I was rather surprised when I had my recent conversation that, I didn't know that we were working on this.
Yeah, I can certainly do that.
Would you please?
Okay. Yes, Anita, this chapter is kind of important, but the other thing that I think we ought to be looking at is the feasibility study of,
yes,
a north transfer versus expanding,
yes,
central.
Yes. Yes.
Because that one, that's where we're headed in the future, one way or the other.
Yes.
And so will that be done, the study, the initial feasibility, be done in time?
Yes, it will have to be actually a crucial part of this.
Yes.
And where we're kind of at with that is we're at the tonnage projections and the population projections, and once we have those completed, we should be able to, the consultant who's working for Waste Connection should be able to finish the feasibility study. So that should be a month or 2 months at the most.
To me, those are the two biggies.
But let's stay on this, but let's add that in.
And we will definitely be back to talk to this group about the feasibility study and the recommendations.
And I would like, as part of the next time when you report, Anita, if you could be so kind to include us on an update on how that progressed.
Okay.
That would really be important information, and I appreciate that point.
Sure.
Okay. So on those two subjects. Okay. We will get done by 8 tonight. Thanks, Pete.
Conversation.
So did you want to look over the recommendations?
Yes. Do you want to go through that, Pete? Or?
We can certainly do that. And this was just, again, a starting point. So we expect edits, comments, changes. We came up with 5 bullets. And the first was... really, again, some of the discussion with CREDC, City of Vancouver, Clark County, the economic agencies that exist, if we were to do a focused approach, sort of the shop around with them, and find out how we start down that path. It's a path of 1,000 steps, and you got to take the first step. We can actually bring some kind of large-scale economic job-creating eco-park or business to the county. And it will take some kind of incentives, a story, because we're competing with everyone else.
I don't feel like we're competing because I feel like it's non-existent. You know, and even in my last discussion with, you know, our wonderful CREDC, you know, it's kind of like, is there even anything there? And just like Bill, I'm going to pick on you as the example, but Bill was impressed with was it 5 tons? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting, 25,000 tons of the glass cullet sitting? 5,000 tons.
That's a lot of pounds.
That's a lot of pounds. And so when you look at that, and if you say that, put that in context to an economic, they're like, well, geez, I didn't know we had anything to market. And they claim that they have never seen. And so once again, we're going to have to step outside of the normal communications.
Yes. And that's what this bullet is about.
Right. Okay.
One of the committees that they have on at CREDC, for instance, is Land for Jobs. And really concerned about the constrictions that we have here, because we've got the Columbia down the west, we've got the mountains on the east, another county on the north. So we really don't have all that much, but there's all these little pockets there, and how do you, you know, a lot of different landowners, you got wetlands and all this kind of stuff. How do you make a business park out of, you know, four different owners and then wetlands problem, etc. So Portland doesn't have that. Really, they've got a lot of room to go on their urban growth boundary out there. So we are kind of restricted here. There's going to be an ultimate amount of industry that we can put in our county here and have homes for everybody. So we have to make real good use of the land that we have.
And we're having the same problem with this feasibility study for the North Transfer Station.
Oh, sure.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
You can't find any place in Ridgefield to take that day.
So it's certainly going to be a challenge for everybody at all different levels of government to do that.
Yeah.
So that's something we got to, you know, so definitely look out for.
These are for steps, for recommendations within.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we go through them. Second one's around the compost facility. Then the pilot, and then the other ones are smaller. Next one. Got the reusable CD sort line, and then the final one is a end about in terms of getting trash. If you have more cans to pick up, trash cans or more recycle bins, you're going to need more drivers. So that's really the nexus of that one. And that would require county, currently voluntary, outside of most city limits, garbage and recycling. But we can form a disposal district and set a service level ordinance that would require it to be mandatory.
Okay, how does that help other than maybe you get more stuff?
That's it. It's a small incremental piece. But again,
because I see you putting a requirement on there that people might get quite upset about.
Yes. Did we mention that? And that's one that the commissioners may certainly pull out their line item and say we don't.
You may not want to recognize.
Yeah, or may not even go.
So, Pete, who's responsible for this?
Which one?
Any of them.
Well, that was a good question, and I think as we come down, you know, we've got a grant for the third bullet on the reusable from the transfer station that we hope to hear in the next week or two, so hopefully we can bring good news on that one.
So you've already initiated a grant with Ecology?
Well,
we've applied
to run the pilot program to start priming the pump.
Right. So we're most likely on that one, even if we don't get the grant, we would probably work on that and try to do that. So that would be a staff.
Now in Portland, do they actually pay?
No.
So whoever's collecting it they get enough value that they feel they can afford to have somebody there, so.
Apparently, yes.
So it's not a government resource.
Was it a year that they had there?
No, it was a staff.
It was a staff.
It was a staff.
Okay. The next to the last one is something that Waste Connections is working on also. So those two are actually staff.
You're talking about the construction demolition debris?
Yes.
I have a comment on that.
Okay.
Why are we only talking about transfer stations? Why aren't we talking about R&R and a couple of the other recyclers in town?
Because we have a contract with the transfer stations, so we can ask them to do that contractually.
Okay, but we can allow...
We could allow, yeah. I mean, it would be allowed, but we just can't influence to the point of having them make a capital investment and doing it.
Yeah. My only concern is that, you know, there's opportunities for other companies to recycle the demolition construction and
right.
demolition debris.
Right.
And when we get into this issue of percentage of waste and stuff, it deters other private companies from doing the work.
But this is a C&D line at the facility. So, I mean, any company could actually bring this stuff there. Right?
Which maybe takes me to something that might fit into what you're saying. One of my bullets was, because I didn't see where it fit in, so correct me. Compile yearly data on unique waste. So, for example, if we have outstanding amounts of a particular C&D product, if we have, you know, I'm just beating this to death, you know, fiber, the, is it carbon fiber? No, resin fiber. Without understanding what we have, we do not know if we have enough saleable items. And then in some, you know, the first one is a very, very large, lofty, big, great goal, and I think that's great. I think there are a lot of subsets to that. And I think that one of the other portions would be to maybe identify, and this flows back into maybe what Steve was saying too, is that we have to enable people who want to develop ideas. And, you know, maybe it fits into the Recycled Arts Fair that we have we have some small breakfast or coffee or something for creative minds who aren't, you know, maybe it's not art. Maybe it's just that they have great minds on how to further, you know, the efforts. And I'd like to see some. Is that kind of
my?
I always drive off road. You know that. I'm
a Hummer.
I'm driving a more sensible vehicle, Alan.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, right.
My issue is that we don't have a single source provider. I would like recycled materials are not regulated by WTC. Okay. Therefore, any vendor, you know, R&R or Waste Connections or McFarland Park. Are the major players that I'm aware of.
H&H.
I'm sorry, it wasn't R&R.
That was back in your military days.
Yeah. But, you know, I personally would like to see competition for this waste stream.
The C&D waste stream.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any recycling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we all sit here and say waste connection this, waste connection that, you know, and we're only obligated to Waste Connection
right.
for the trash. And that's the state law. Anything else should be, you know, it should have an opportunity for the citizens of the county to choose who they do business with.
And that's usually under a contract for a specific period of time, and then at the end of that time, you go out for requests for other people and other vendors to bid on that particular contract.
In the county,
that makes them stay competitive.
It's a different system in terms of the garbage collection.
Yeah.
And it's a franchise. So Waste Connections has the garbage franchise, but they don't have a franchise for the recycling, for the C&D, for materials that are considered recoverable. It's considered outside of the franchise. And for the C&D line at the transfer station, what we're talking about is recovering C&D materials that come in as garbage.
Right.
So it's going to end up in the landfill.
Right. I was out there at the transfer station on 117th just last week and dumped, and had like four or five guys over there pulling 2x4s out and throwing them aside, and I thought that was great.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if we have like Goodwill or the...
Well, see, we don't have any like reconstruction stores, do we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same place your computer place was in.
Well, Habitat, but what about for-profit? I don't know of one reconstruction.
Oh, you mean like
those? These are common in other parts of the world, in Southern California.
Well, they have it. They Portland.
Portland is a nonprofit, though.
It is?
Yeah, Rebuilding Center. Oh, yeah, the House Ministries. I can't remember what the name is. Mm-hmm. I don't think those two.
Okay. But anyway, we could work on it.
I see he's got a better chance to make money than electronics. So, and again, I think that first one is the staff and SWAC. I mean, that's kind of the big one. And the second one, if we can move forward on this compost, that would be staff. It's all by staff.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd probably lead on that.
Would it help to change the word plan to take? SWAC will take an active role.
Or play.
Play. Take. Play. Yeah.
Good.
Good catch. Thank you.
And that is one that, again, we're still working on what that vision is.
I don't want to see that just go sloppy mm-hmm. on us, because it would be a very sad, you know, to just become another It Sits, and we did it because state law requires that we submit a plan. I really prefer not to go down that route.
And I think we would want to, again, have that dialed in a little or if we're going to sit down with the commissioners.
And so, if I need to put my foot on the gas on it, let me know. But I think to hear next month what the response is or how we're working, or, you know, even to have some direction from, hey, this is what we're working on, because...
And some of it is if it's a shovel-ready project, something opens up, whether it's industrial land, I mean, we're looking at redeveloping the Lagwood Farm, which is 600 acres out there on the rail. If there's something that we can put in there or use as a recruitment tool to target a specific industry that's growing, and whether it's the carbon fiber market, you know, we know that's a growing industry, and we know there's going to be entrepreneurial activity there, and we know that it's a big source of a lucrative waste product. Mm-hmm. How do we get in the game? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's 10 years out, but we need to start paving the way.
You know, I see the potential there for compost. Big.
And composting is the same. Small. That's not the same process. It'll take a long time. But yes, and that really does give us local ownership, and it gives us a lot more ability to take materials that we don't really accept, which we know are in the trash. In large amounts.
You have an item in here for having somebody at, you know, a transfer station pulling stuff. In Germany, they used to have what they called junk day. And they would put all their old big things out, and people would come around and look. If you wanted it, you would just take it. And if they weren't taking that night, the next day, the city would come and haul it off to the dump. And, well, it got to be where Americans were going after those antiques, right, because they had some absolutely beautiful antiques where, you know, somebody got new furniture and
the Germans were into chrome and plastic.
Yeah, they were into chrome plastic, and the heavy wood stuff that was built to last centuries was still there. And so for a while it was Americans taking it, and then pretty soon it got to be dealers taking it. But it was a way to get rid of things. And I had a staff, I worked for the Army at that time, and I did construction. So we had little offices here, there, and everywhere, but we weren't supported big time. So we didn't have refrigerators. And if you ever tried to order a refrigerator from the Army, and they went out and got nine refrigerators one night and six were. So I mean it was a system that was kind of nice because the owners only had to take this stuff down to the front, and for some people that needed things for repair, you know, I need the three table legs or something, and maybe what they wanted was right there.
I actually love the term junk day because I think if we called Earth Day junk day, we would really think about the purpose of it, you know, instead of all the, you know, it's really nice, it's warm, it's fuzzy. Yeah. But junk day just says, hey, folks, let's do something.
Yeah, but and you know, it did clean up the neighborhood.
That's it. I mean, that's it.
You didn't have people dumping, and because if nobody took it, it was picked up by a commercial thing.
Sometimes you'll see, like, on the curb,
so free. Or put $10 on it and hoping somebody will steal it.
That was a joke. They couldn't get rid of that refrigerator. Finally, one day they put a sign for some money on it and it disappeared next year.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. Well, we should make a note of that one. I think one of the criteria we used was, can it create jobs, even if it's one or two jobs? Junk day is a great concept. And I know some communities that have done that.
And another, just I'm throwing some off the wall things at, but like you have the Recycle Arts Fair.
Yes.
What would happen if you had a workshop and you got all these people in there? Do you have any other ideas, you know, maybe a half an hour, for what you can do with recyclables?
Yeah.
And just get their ideas. You know, they're there anyway. Maybe a half an hour before it starts, say we want to have a get together and maybe feed them some donuts or something, or coffee to get them going.
It would be a fun concept, though, to have a junk area where people could bring and almost
had that, though. They have a junk area.
We had a couple of like
found items, right?
I can't remember what we called them now, but
Tossed and found.
Not the tossed and found, but it was like the community, it was a precursor of the community fair share. And people brought, you know, stuff and they were going to exchange it, and it got a little competition. And a little unruly, and we sort of quit doing that.
Okay. So. All right. So what else do we need to decide here tonight, Pete?
I think if we're okay with the recommendations, we certainly can take comments on that at any time.
Okay.
And then we have something we can start to move forward.
Right.
You contact Don, see how he wants to shop this to the commissioners.
Okay. Yeah, I feel very strongly about that.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll have our meeting that we were working on setting up.
I think that'd be a really good idea to you know, run this by Don and run it up there, because, you know, we don't want to just present it to him, you know, like she said.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise
well, you're
going to sit in the bookshelf.
Very good stack.
Yep. Here it is. You can look at it. We've already looked at it.
We've done the work. Yeah.
So here's what you need to do.
Right. Right. Then it goes in and okay.
Heaven forbid it would go through as a, you know, like a health plan that was not read by everybody.
Oh, heavens no.
Okay, let's calm down. Do we have? Well, thank you, Pete.
Yes.
I really appreciate your dedication on that. Do we have other business? Anything anybody wants to share?
Well,
Alan.
Okay. Well, I'm back in action here, and I was really pleased to see all the Earth Day activities. I think Anita must have had tennis shoes and everything going on. Like she mentioned, Legacy, we went out to clean up the highway and got rained out. We sure gave it a try, and there's still plenty out there. We'll be back again in September to do it again. But just before the meeting, I went to another meeting that never happened at Clark College, and I was very impressed with. They've got the volunteer stuff that the ecology puts out. They've got everything, and it's readily available for every student right there, you know, handouts. Plus, about every 12 or 15 feet, there's a whole set of this kind of stuff I mean, if they had to toss it, they would get a recycle bin. So that's going good. I'm going to leave Anita article here about, we were so happy that Waste Connections got those CNG trucks. Mm-hmm. Lots of problems with the shop, with that. You know, they have a shop, and there's all kinds of stuff that they have to have. Enhanced ventilation ducts, no spark, motors and fans, mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff that we never thought about, you know, when we said, oh, this is going to be a great idea.
Well, Waste Connections thought of that.
Yeah, but I hope they built all this in, because this is an article of everything that had to be thought about, and I'm like, goodness, there's a lot more to this than I ever thought about sitting around this table. So that was good. And I think glad to be back.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for your updates all the time, too. Appreciate them greatly. We do appreciate the work of staff. You guys gave us another great, we're very green here in this neck of the woods, and I think we're very fortunate to have everybody who's here and the dedication of the audience. Are there any comments outward here? Joe, you have anything to add? We go to the order here. Pete? Nothing? Okay. Tanya? Okay, just want to thank everybody. We will adjourn, and we will see you in June.
And we'll work on the meeting of the lights and lighting.
Yes, 7:45.